When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100 megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome sales event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome sales event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. Hour number three, it's 6:02 here in the Bayou City. Let's run down to Corpus Christi now. Let's check in with Captain Cliff Webb this morning. Hey, Cliff, how's it going, bud?
Doing good, Mickey. You, man, you good?
Oh, couldn't be better. It's all good.
You're getting ready for your trip. I know you're excited about your trip downtown.
Oh, yeah, I can't wait. It's about time to get out of Dodge for a while.
Oh, that's awesome.
See some new scenery.
Yes, that's you know, that's what's so cool. You sit in a deer blind, you know, the scenery is always different. That's what's so neat, you know. It's you sit in the same deer blind, you'll see something different every day. It's great.
Yeah.
That's just we've been doing. It's been a great week. We I don't know where else that you can go surfing, fishing, dove hunting, and floundering all in the same weekend. Deer hunting and hog hunting. I did it all this week.
That's the water was so God's warm. Country. Hey,
man,
if I won that lottery last night, I'm moving down there.
It was so warm, I surfed without a wetsuit in December. Like, what?
That's water unheard 70, of, isn't it?
69 degrees in the Gulf, right at 68, 69. The sun was out.
That's
and we
still
skinned
chilly,
it.
Though. Golly.
We skinned it, but the sun was out, and it was dead calm. It wasn't bad, you know, a little nippy getting in, but once you got in, right. You got your head under there a couple of times and fell down a few times, you felt better, you know, so it's good. You get a lot of exercise and you fall down a lot. You know? It was good, Mickey, all good, and our fishing's just stupid, you know. God, there's just so many trout right now. I guess I fished on Wednesday. I went out and Greg and I go out just for a couple hours, catch some fish, going to catch some flounder. So it's probably like crack of 7:30. We don't go out early. And we pull into the spot, and as far as you can see, there's jumping shrimp out of the water and bird trying to grab them out of the water. As far as you can see, both directions, 5 miles. And, you know, trout sucking off the top of the water. We're trying to get down to the bottom and catch a flounder. And you can't get down to the bottom without catching a 19 to 23-inch trout. It's like, you know, this is really a bad problem to have. We caught like 60 trout. And then we finally got on this edge. And I caught a flounder about 5.5 pounds right on this little drop-off. I mean, it was a saddle blanket. Man. And we catch 3 more right in that area. And then I pull off just a little bit. And Greg sticks a 23-inch trout, and we start catching big trout again. You know, it's just like, well, I don't think we got a trout shortage this year. God almighty,
no.
Mickey.
No, that's awesome.
Good. It is so good, you know. And, of course, down south's been good. Talking to Blackwell, Chase, and those guys, you know, fishing, and all the guys fishing this week, too. There's been a, you know, barometric pressure's been a little high, so the fish have been kind of scattered. Early in the week, just simply because the pressure's over 30, it's just been kind of high, you know, which is normal for this time of year.
And backside of the moon. You got the light
winds. Backside of the moon. So, you know, you do have a little lull time, but, boy, when you walk into them, you walk into them. We happened to hit them right, you know, in the backside of that moon. The moon was still up, and the shrimp are just moving out like crazy. Nick, I've never seen so many shrimp in this system. Oh, my God. We don't have any shrimpers. That's it. You know, nobody catching shrimp.
Yeah, that's the same up here. We have hardly any shrimpers anymore. That's
you know, and it's just it's crazy.
That's
how many,
a dying
how many
profession.
Shrimp. Mm-hmm. You know, we're buying these giant 9-count white shrimp for $3 a pound. That's how many shrimp we got down here. It's crazy.
Man,
you know, it's just stupid. The markets are just flooded for shrimp. I never thought I'd see that ever. You know,
man.
But it's all good. Barry calls me, I guess, day before yesterday, 4 o'clock, says, hey, man, I'm getting off work. Let's go walk into a flounder hole. I said, hey, that sounds good. I ain't doing nothing, you know. So I put my waders on at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. He comes by and picks me up, and we drive to the spot. We make a long walk. We walk in the spot. We catch a flounder in 2 hours in this one flounder hole. It was cool.
Lord.
And we never took the boat off the trailer. Just walked in and caught a flounder, you know, so. You can't say the fishing's not good down here, man.
Mm. Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah. But, I don't know about the duck hunters, but the fishermen are doing pretty good. I don't hear a lot of shooting right now.
No, it just depends on where you're at with duck hunting right now. I mean,
yeah.
It's spotty, very spotty.
Yeah.
You've
it seemed like we had more birds
and,
earlier.
Yeah, it seems that way.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're just not getting that... Real
weather.
Cold weather up north to drive birds to the coast, you know.
Yeah, Mike Herring stopped by the other day. He had his world champion dog with him. God, what a machine, Blue. That's out of Hook, the national champion.
Right.
That's probably the best dog in the United States, but I got to see him. And he looks like a sculptured robot. He's muscled up, buddy. That is a machine.
Oh.
I got to see his dog. He's just beautiful, but... They were getting ready to go to Rockport and do some duck hunting. And so I hadn't talked to him, see how it was. Boy, he caught a bluebird day. That next day was a bluebird day. So it's probably a bluebill redhead day, I call them.
You bet it was a diver duck day.
A diver duck day, yeah.
Diver ducks. Man, you got dabbling ducks, puddle ducks, and diver ducks.
That's right, man. But I'm not seeing the amount of ducks here at the, you know, around the causeway and the upper Laguna Madre like I normally did this time last year. But our temperatures are way off compared to last year. You know, everything.
Well, last, when was that when I was down there? John and I came. It was the most ducks I've ever seen down there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
yeah,
that,
yeah.
when we left the marina and you got about 3 miles down the intercoastal and we got around those islands, I mean, the sky would just go black with them. I'm going, this is crazy. And it was everything. It was pintails, widgeons, you know, a lot of diver ducks too, bluebills and, you know, scallop and redheads and stuff. But, I mean, there was millions of them.
You know, the ducks were so thick, I'd say 20 years ago here, that they would light up in the upper Laguna Madre here and pull all the grass up and just leave the whole flat with just pure sand. And for 3 days, it was just sand. And then they would eat it out. You know, yeah, they recycle the seeds, and then it'd all grow back.
Yeah.
But I remember going with Mr. Jolly one day, and I'm in the Lake and Bay, and it's right at daylight. I'm headed across the intercoastal, and the power lines cross the intercoastal, a bunch of power lines. And this flight of duck is getting off the water, and it just turned the sky black like bats. And they flew through those high lines, and one of those ducks hit the high line and fell dead right in front of my boat. I couldn't believe it. So we got a duck. We got a duck, a flounder, a redfish, and a trout. I said, that's a grand slam right there, buddy. But, you know, it's funny.
Have you seen any deer swim the intercoastal this year yet?
Oh, yes. I saw a stud the other day. Oh, my God, man.
Oh, boy.
Coming across the land cut, he's a big old buck coming across, you know. And, you know, in the old days, I'd have chased him, but I just watched him. You know, in the old days, I might have stuck his head underwater. But, you know, I just watched him this time.
I heard a story. One of my customers told me, I forget what guide he was with, but they were coming in, and they were in the land cut, and it was during deer season. And the guide saw this big buck swimming the intercoastal, and he drove it down with a boat and reached, grabbed his fillet knife and grabbed his horns and cut his throat and threw him in the boat and tagged him and took him home.
There you go. I've seen it happen.
Have you ever heard that?
Yeah, I've heard that before.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Man, that's hardcore. Boy, I bet that was a bloody mess.
Oh, man, there's a buck that's on one of the spoil islands. It's so cool. So last year, he's about a 160. This year, he's about a 165 with a kicker. And wow. So I'm waiting, and I can
that was that deer you were telling me about.
I sent you the picture of him. Well, he's there this year. So he doesn't come out till you park your boat for 30 minutes and no boats come by. He comes out of this big pile of brush on this island and starts eating right next to you. I had him at 40 yards the other day looking at me. And I'm standing about waist deep water, you know, looking at him. I go, man, that is a beautiful sight. But I can't kill him. He's a pet. You know, he lives. He's the only deer on that island, Mickey. I don't know what he's doing there again this year.
Well, he's the dominant buck.
He's the only buck. I mean, I think he's swimming back. It's not very far from the mainland. I don't know what he sees in an island, if he's got a scrape or rub there. But he just shows up, and he'll be gone for 2 or 3 weeks, and he'll show back up. But he's there now. So
amazing.
I'm hoping nobody will get him, you know.
Mm-hmm. He's a good one. 165 with a kicker. I'll take him.
Yeah, that's one of the biggest bucks you see around here. He's super old. He's probably 7.5 years old. He's super old. Yeah. And this year he's got darker horns. And it's funny because there's not a lot of trees and stuff on that island for him to rub on. So evidently he's doing all that rubbing in the mainland. So I'm trying to figure out what he's doing over there.
Huh.
Yeah. We'll find out. I'd like to catch a big trout and get a picture of a big trout with a buck in the background. Now, would that be a good picture?
Oh, that would be impressive. I like the old stringer pictures we used to take with pintails in the skylight, you know, behind
them. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Flocks of birds flying by while we're waiting in the winter, taking photos. Mm-hmm. Never a buck. I've never seen that.
We get to see that quite a bit here along the King Ranch and Kennedy Ranch. And those big bucks will push those does out in the front like that along the shoreline so they can keep an eye on them. You see a bunch of does out right now on the shoreline, and they keep looking back. There's a buck laying down there.
Yep.
There's a buck laying down there in the grass, always.
A good buck will do that, drive them to the edge of the water.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's you know, I'm thinking that we're going to see something really big this year on the shoreline. It seems like the horns are pretty good this year on the Kennedy. You know, every year I check them out. There was a big buck on the bluff the other day. I pulled up there, and, of course, he spooked. I don't know. He must have been chased or something. I never got a really good look. I didn't bring him up in binoculars, but he was a really good deer. And you could tell when people have been hunting these deer because some of these deer have been hunted at night. And, boy, they're spooky of a boat. And then there's the ones that come out of the middle of nowhere, like the Holy Land they call out of the middle of 230,000-acre Kennedy, where they've never seen another person in their life. And they pushed a doe out there in the front, and they'll stand there and look at you, you know, like you're not a predator. It's crazy.
Man.
It is.
Let me knock this break out. I'll be right back, Cliff. Hang on.
All right, Mickey. All right.
AnglerU is committed to steadily expanding its library of videos to cover every topic under the sun when it comes to fishing. Weekly fishing reports from up and down the coast by the best guides and tournament anglers with decades of experience, and they're steadily expanding its library of videos to cover all topics and their archive so you can see patterns over time. They have educational videos with instructional topics covering all aspects of saltwater fishing for speckled trout, redfish, flounder, tarpon, and whether you're boat fishing, wade fishing, or kayaking, go to anglerU.com to become a member today and receive great discounts from partner retailers like Fishing Tackle Unlimited, Anglers Anonymous, and Waterloo Rods. This will save you a ton of money. Go to anglerU.com. That's anglerU.com and improve your fishing skills. It's a game changer.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Football fans, do you want to hear the whole unadulterated truth about where your team stands?
It's the most embarrassing film I have ever watched in my entire life.
Former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth gives his perspective on the top storylines and games on a weekly basis on the Stinkin' Truth Podcast.
You may get out of here with two sacks and a tackle for loss, but you're getting out with a bloody nose.
New episodes drop every Monday and Thursday.
It's going to be a street fight.
Make sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show, 618 here in the Bayou City. All right, Cliff, we're back.
All right, man. That's some good music he's playing today. He's on fire,
man.
Oh,
yeah, we're on it,
it's going good.
Living a dream,
man. So you're getting ready to go down and do a little hunting. I'm excited for you. That's awesome.
Yeah. I need a little getaway. I've been
you do. Now, stuck now you're gonna, here now, for next a year, Saturday. Yeah, next Saturday you're not going to be on the air, right?
No. We'll talk next year.
Yeah, okay. Okay, cool. And you're going to be down there a week, Mickey?
Yes.
Oh, that's awesome, man. That is so good. God almighty. That's going to be some fun.
I could ask for better weather, but, I mean, it is what it is. We'll just go down there and make the most of it. And...
Oh, it's all about the fellowship and hanging around the fire and telling stories. It's the most fun part about it. We've all shot plenty of birds and deer. I mean, you know, it's a time in our life. It's just, it's just almost good talking about it. So the older you get, you do a lot more talking about it than you actually do things. So I've noticed that.
You going to hunt deer hunt any more this year?
Oh, my God. So my son, I got so much going on. It's just incredible. My youngest son's Cody's coming in. He just came back from Japan. He went to Dubai, came back for a week. He was at work there, and then he has all this air mileage and motels stuff. So he says, "Hey man, I've never been to Japan. I want to go." So he gets on a plane, he goes to Japan, and stays a week, and just came back. And man, he had a great time, just telling me how advanced they are. So all, you know, every place you go into, the robots serve you at the bars and stuff. The robots serve you. Then you're going down the street and they'll, yeah, he said it's all robots. And then drones. Wow, and then
sounds like
you're going down the street. Oh, man. He says, and you go down the street and said, yeah, a little chair looking thing will come to you, and you just put your coordinates in it, sit in the chair, and it'll take you to your destination. You know, so it's just a real, yeah, they're super advanced, you know, just amazing. It's just,
well, they can have all that crap.
Yeah, it's crazy, you know, and you got to see the temple.
Everybody
and
wants to go into the future. I want to go back to the Dark Ages. I want to go back to the pioneer days, man.
Yeah, you're just an old fart like me. I understand. I can't work all that new stuff
anyway.
The
Wild West.
You know?
About 1875 to 1900.
Only buttons I like to work.
Doc Holliday and Wyatt Earp.
I know it, man. The only buttons I want to work is the one on the reel, you know.
That's
and
it.
And the safety on the shotgun. That's the only two buttons I want to push right there, buddy. That's it. But you sound like you still got birds down south. We got a few birds at our place. I haven't had a chance to hunt. We've been just so busy here, but I'm going to try to kill a few birds, but he's got lots of quail this year.
Oh, yeah. Loaded. Yeah. Loaded to the gills, man.
Yeah. I keep saying I'm going to get down. I just got to find a chance to get down there for a day. I'd love to come see you guys for a day down there. Just come down and
for a day. I mean,
I'll always head every year, but it seems like
it's
just
loose,
it's crazy
drive
around
up,
here.
What would it be, about probably 2 hours from Corpus?
Yeah, about 2 hours, you know.
I know it's about an hour from Rivera.
You know, it's just it's not,
you know,
bad
go
at
through
all.
Rialitos, you know, Foul Furious and Rialitos, and come in that way to 16.
Right, right. Now, does he have two ranches there, or is it all one section, or is it different areas he's got?
Well, they all pretty much adjoin each other.
Right.
Well, he's got one we call across town, you know, Nava North. That's just right outside of town there of Hebronville. But, you know, he's got the, he's got Nava, you know, the, well, they're all adjoined, Beto's and all
And
Filberto and all of them, they all adjoin down a long county road. You have different accesses to him. You could drive through one and go, but it takes too long. You might as well take the county road and enter, you know, what section you're going to hunt, you know.
That's right. We had the same thing at the Kennedy. You know, we had the North and South Rita on the other side of the checkpoint on 77. So you had to pull out of La Parra there at Sarita and drive, you know, 10 miles down Highway 77 to get to our other sections. We had a 54,000 acres on one side and 70,000 acres that joined the Armstrong Ranch. And, man, we killed a big deer over there. I was with Todd, the guy. What was his name? It was Robbie Miller and David Todd. The guy that used to run the hunting and fishing show. Remember him?
Yeah,
those
sure
guys.
Did.
Yeah. Well, he booked a trip on Sarita with me, and I got to guide him. And we killed the biggest drop time buck that year and won the Muy Grande drop time buck contest with him.
Well, that's what
really
I'm looking
cool
for. I've never killed a drop time, and I'm looking for either a big eight or a drop time buck.
That's good, man. That's good. Has he killed many drop times on that ranch?
I think somebody killed one years ago, and they named the blind that he killed it out of Double Drop. That's the name of that blind.
Oh, that's
because it was
stuff.
Double Drop time buck, but no.
Oh, and man.
I hadn't seen one. I don't mean he's not there, but nobody's.
I turned down one, 2 years ago on our place. I turned down a young drop time buck that had a nice drop time, but he was 3 years old. And he had pencil horns. I said, I'm shooting for a drop time. I'm just not going to do it. And I never saw him again. Evidently, somebody got him, I guess, you know.
Well, it's a rare genetic. Some ranches have them, some don't. You know, it's like, it's like brow tines. Some ranches in some areas of the state that just have weak brow tines, and other areas have super long brow tines.
Yeah, we had a pasture, the Bidalejos pasture, and it was about a 60,000 acre pasture, and it had more crab claws. Every deer had a crab claw. Every big buck had this little crab claw on his last point, just barely come out and make a crab claw. Even if he's a 10 point, they'd have that little crab claw. And it was funny how that gene was dominant in that one pasture.
That's
like
the
that
dominant gene. Yep. That's...
And it's so cool how these deer develop horns for where they live. So we'd have these wide open, like the Palomas pasture didn't have a lot of brush. It had a lot of wide open pastures. And all those deer in that pasture were real wide horns because they didn't have to run through the brush. They had wide horns. And then you go like the Bordas, and it was real tight brush. You know, 20,000 acres of tightest brush you've ever seen. All those deer were basket racks, heavy. You know, it's just amazing how they're
tall and heavy. Grew up running through, that weird?
Yeah, running through that brush, you know. So it's funny that people go, well, I want to try to kill a really wide buck. I said, well, let's go over here to Palomas. You know, we'll try to get you something wide. Or you want a big old chocolate horn, you know, heavy horn, we'll go over here to the Bordas. And it's just funny how we could play that game. And it's the same with the nail guy. We had nail guy in pastures that were full of nail guy, but you could never shoot one because he'd run 10 yards, he'd be in an oak mount where you could never get him out. And so, you know, you got to really be careful where we shot those things, because once you shoot them, if they run into that tight brush, try to pull one out when you got brush real close together like that. Try to pull a 900-pound animal out of there. It doesn't
happen. That's what happened to Brian. He killed a giant nail guy last week, Brian Barrera.
And, yes, he did.
Yeah. And was in the brush. He's not a very big guy anyway. I can just see him tugging on a 900-pound animal.
No, you don't do it.
They like to never got it in the back of the truck, but they got it loaded up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The work begins when they hit the ground. Let me tell you what, man. I've shot a bunch of those. And
have you ever had a nail guy process? Are they good eating?
Oh, my God. We had nail guy till we're sick of them, Mickey. So
really?
When I got it on that ranch, all the guides ate nail guys, so they'd go tell me to go shoot a cow nail guy, try to shoot one around 100 pounds, and come back and be camp meat. Well, after 3 weeks of eating nail guy carne asada, nail guy enchiladas, nail guy hamburgers, you know, nail guy beef sticks, you're sick of nail guy. But they are fantastic eating. I mean, I really suggest shooting a cow, like a half-grown cow. Mm-hmm. The bulls, you know, you got 900 pounds of pretty tough stuff there. It's
yeah.
Makes decent sausage, but they're very, very good table fare. You know,
awesome. But they got some giant backstraps in them and big bulls.
9 foot long. They're 9 foot long. Ted Nugent shot one, and the backstraps were 9 foot long. Isn't that something?
Him and his backstraps.
Oh, he loved it. He shot one with a bow in our place. He's a great guy, man.
Voluptuous backstraps.
Yeah. When you go nail guy hunting with a bow, man, you gotta shoot him in the right spot where he can't, you know, he can't get to the brush. You gotta get him somewhere and try to stalk an animal that's got eyes like an antelope on open ground. And what we do, the sand dunes, those rolling hills, we wait till he walked over the sand dune, and then we get in behind him and try to creep up behind him and hope he didn't go very far and try to get a shot at him. But those are some tricky animals with those great eyes they've got.
Yeah, they are. They're tough, just especially to spot and stalk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but that was a fun game. We'd shoot our deer and everything, so shoot all the deer and hogs and stuff, and say, well, I got 2 days left with you, Cliff. Can we get a nail guy? Then all of a sudden we switch gears and get in the A-frames. We had a truck with A-frames on them, so we could winch them up in the truck. And then we get out and start nail guy hunting. So it was pretty cool. If that didn't work, we put our waders on and go down to the to Allison and catch trout. There's so many days we'd have weather like this, Mickey, and we'd carry several sets of waders at the ranch. And I put those deer hunters in waders, have all the fishing equipment, and we'd turn a deer hunting trip into a big trout trip. Man, it was good.
There you
good.
Go. Hey, you know? There's nothing wrong with that.
No, not at all. Where else can you do that but South Texas?
I know. That's the last frontier down there, down your way.
Yes, sir. It is, man. It is. Well, you get ready to head that way. That's going to be some good stuff.
Yeah, I'll enjoy every minute of it. Worst part of the drive.
Yeah. Does Blaine got a deer picked out for you yet? Has he got a call? Good call
nah,
for you?
No, he. If he does, he won't say.
Uh-huh. That's good. Kind of makes it more exciting like that.
Yeah, I don't think they had too much. They hadn't had too much deer hunting pressure here the last 8 or 10 days.
Mm-hmm.
But
just the
weather. There'll be a few of us there for Christmas, and we'll see how it goes. He said there's just a few. Hopefully that's the way it is.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen some Christmases where it was just like a revolving door at a motel.
Really?
Three leave, four come. It's just in and out. Here they come.
He has a lot of accommodations there to take care of a lot of people, right? Yeah. 20 people or so.
I've seen 60 there at one time.
60 people.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. How does he take care of all that? He's got a lot of guys working for him? Or?
Yeah, he's got a lot of guys helping put everybody out.
That's something, man.
Lots of stands, lots of blinds.
Yeah, yeah. I heard he does a lot of feeding. He's got a great, great hunter. I've had several of my clients go down there and bird hunt with him and deer hunt with him and send pictures over the year, and it's just like a great, great operation he's got, man.
Oh, yeah. It's first class. They don't call him Corn Julio for nothing. Man, he puts out some corn. Jesus. All right, let me do this other break. Hang on. We'll talk
some more. All right, Mickey. All right,
man. I'll be right back at you, buddy.
All right, man.
Well, I need to take a moment to tell everybody about Boyd's One Stop. They're the home of the supercharged, super slimy powerhouse croakers, located right at the base of the Texas City Dike at 227 Dike Road. And, folks, if you're looking for quality live bait for your next fishing trip, look no farther than Boyd's. From their tanks to your live well, that bait's as good as it can possibly be. And there's no better way to leave your bait or your tournament fish than with their oxygen response system. They have them on display there at the store. They refill your bottles there for you. And if you need more info on that, call Jason Cogman at 281-701-8107. And when you're by the store, check out all their wild-caught Gulf seafood. No farm-raised at Boyd's. If you're looking for the big 9-12s or the 15-18 count, whatever you're looking for, they have it with great prices. And they've been getting some crawfish in early this year, so you might want to call down or check their website, see if they have any availability on their crawfish, and check out their Cajun Grill next door. 409-945-4001 or boydsonestop.com, and please tell them Captain Mickey sent you. Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. All right, it's 6:36 here in the Bayou City. All right, Cliff, we're back, man.
All right, buddy.
Making another round.
Yeah, good deal. And your fishing seems like it's pretty – listen to James, you guys are doing pretty good on your fish.
Yeah, we're just not getting any big fish, you know, like you guys are. But somebody, you know, a bunch of my friends came down your way this past week. And the first day they were there, I think one of them caught a 28-incher about his third cast when they got out to wade, and another one about 26. But it was pretty tough. They said it, you know, they caught a lot of little fish, but, you know, the bite wasn't horrendous. Of course, they may not be in the right place either, you know.
I've been hearing that up and down. Like Paul Jamala, my neighbor, went to yesterday, and he fished back at Alazani. He only caught four fish, but one of them was 8 pounds, 29.5 inches. You know, and he said it was the same way. It's probably just a high-pressure bite. You know, it's just a
right.
I'm hoping that pressure will come down a little bit. But you know how it is when it's dead calm, Mickey, and real slick, and then you got high pressure, sunny skies. It's not an ideal
trout fish. You got high pressure, sunny skies, calm conditions, and backside of the full moon. Baffin's always been tough behind the moon like that.
It is. It's always been like that. You know, we just grind it out. And I got the guys from CCA tomorrow. I'm hoping we'll pull something off, you know. So we're gonna see what happens, but I think the southeast wind's supposed to start coming up Sunday and Monday, and
I've got
two trips there Sunday and Monday. So
y'all don't look like we'll y'all see, had you know, too much wind there this morning.
No, it's nice here this morning.
I'd rather have
it windy than dead calm. Actually, you know, dead calm can kick my butt unless they're in deep structure. You know, like the other day when Greg and I were fishing, it was dead calm, but I'm fishing a 15-foot wall. You know, and deep down deep and. And when the shrimp are coming up the top, you know you're going to catch them. I don't care if it's slick or not. When you got a shrimp popping on top and 15 seagulls hovering over them, you're going to catch them. You know?
Shrimp aren't like mullet. They don't jump for nothing.
That's it. That's it. Exactly right.
And, shrimp crawling on top, there's something under them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what's going on. And it's just so funny because people are still catching a few fish in the surf. Our surf's been warm and seen a few pictures of some fish, you know, farther south down toward Mansfield. Some nice trout still being caught in the surf, you know. My buddy that fishes the jetties every day, Bob, you know, he's just kind of giving up on the – he's walking down the rocks. You know, just this time of year he kind of gives up and goes back in the lakes, the Padres Lakes and the different areas and tries to catch flounder and stuff, you know. But he's my jetty It's my Jetta report, because he does work that edge right there. Man, it's crazy.
Well, I was looking around this morning before I went on air, just killing time, and I was noticing on Shark Tracker, the O-Search site, y'all, most of the tag big sharks are down your way, hammerheads. And
mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's one short fin mako right there down by Brian's. And,
wow.
But a lot of the sharks are concentrated down your way. There's one off Galveston, a hammerhead, an 8-footer, and then one out from Matagorda. Old Bill Nye, that hammerhead's been tagged for a while. I see that name all the time. But
you know, that's something, how they tag those sharks, great whites and stuff. I just don't want to see that sucker swimming in my surfing area. So keep him down there. God almighty, man.
Yeah, all the great whites are over around Florida right now.
Are they? Oh, keep them over there. That's all right. Man.
And the bull sharks.
That's the only thing that concerns me here is the bull sharks. You know, if I'm ever going to get bit by a shark, it's probably going to be a bull shark, because it seems like we have them in our bait systems and in the surf, and then they're up shallow where you're wading with trout, and they're such an aggressive fish. So I think
the bull shark is a cousin to the white shark.
Yeah, I had that guy in my boat that he had a stingray guard on, and that shark thought it was a stingray and bit his foot, grabbed his foot, and flipped him upside down. That was crazy. And
wow.
He had to have a whole bunch of surgeries on his foot, almost took his foot off. You know, he could hear it crunching in his jaws. You know, he was up there by you or Matagorda or somewhere. I had this guy last year tell me that story, and I said, God almighty, man. You guys
remember,
waiting around those sharks.
Old Matt Minton, God rest his soul, he was wading the surf in Galveston there out from Jamaica Beach, and if he hadn't had one of those good wading booties, you know, with stingray guards and everything, he had a bull shark grab his foot and drag him under.
So I think got to be, they think it's stingray, you know, because it's moving like that, and they think it's a stingray, and they're going to grab it like that. But, God.
Man. Well, that'll wake you up.
No, I just can't believe it, you know. That's just nuts.
I'd be on the bank.
Yeah, that's the only thing I like about where I'm wading that salty. I don't have to worry about too many sharks or stingrays, you know.
Yeah, and I
may trip over rocks or something, but.
Over by Sabine Lake, one guy was, he had gotten the water to go to the bathroom on the jetties, and then got up, and he was sitting on the ladder, and one bit his foot. And then another guy got his foot bit wading the Louisiana Pocket one time. The water was real dirty. And if sharks bit people, you'd read about it every day, as many sharks as we have. It just sometimes you're lucky and sometimes you're not. I don't want to give them a chance. They get real bad around me. I'll get in the boat. I'll go somewhere else.
No, that's the same thing. I'll go somewhere else, you know. So in all my, you know, I've been surfing since I was 9 years old. I've seen two people get bit by sharks in the surf, and both were on the feet. And their feet were dangling off the board, and, you know, they got a black wetsuit on with a white foot. It kind of looks like a fish or something, so I think it was a mistake. But both of them got, you know, their foot bit by sharks. You know, that's the only time I've seen that happen. You know, and of course, wade fishing, you know, I think Chad Pedrick had a guy who was reaching for a fish, and right when he grabbed the fish, a bull shark bit him and the fish in his hand.
Ooh.
And he said, from now on in that area, I think he's up by Matagorda or something, he said, we use a dip net now. He says, because that's when they get you, when that fish is up there splashing around and you reach over to grab him, that shark's right there, you know, and just happened to be bad timing. So he says, from now on, he nets every fish.
Yeah, they were probably wading west Matagorda Bay. Those sharks get bad, you know, down there around Cottons and Greens, that area. They get pretty thick at times.
Well, I've never used a net the other day. Yeah, the other day on those flounder, I took a net, and I'm glad I did, because those flounder, you know, I'm getting old. My hands aren't good anymore. I can't grab those flounder without a net like I used to. I used to be able to grab them and pinch them behind the head, and they just freeze, you know?
Yeah.
And now my old hands can't get them around.
You get your thumb on that side, you know, that pectoral fin.
Yeah.
And pinch them, mash down, clamp down on them, they'll kind of paralyze.
Yeah.
And then you can get them up to you and get a stringer in them, but. Yeah,
that's the dip net thing is really nice, because
if you're gonna wait for flounder, better than, I'd recommend a net, no doubt.
When I went with Barry fishing the other day, I had one flounder I caught was perfect. He was like maybe 18 inches. So I scaled him whole and scored him.
Oh, yeah.
And fried him whole in one of them.
Oh, really? Dude, I've never fried whole like that.
You got to fry them whole, Mickey. They're incredible.
Really?
You score them down the back and
right.
just smear a little bit of mustard, just a tiny bit of mustard on them so it holds mm-hmm. that Louisiana cornmeal and smash uh-huh. that cornmeal real good and get that grease real hot and pop him in there and let until it comes away from the bone and just lay him out on the
awesome.
Table and pick at him. Pretty good stuff right there, buddy. Man. You know, and I like flounder fillets too, but there's something about that skin on a flounder. It's got a lot of flavor, you know.
Yeah.
So I scale them and try to eat that skin, you know, unless it's a real big. That big one I caught there, that 5.5 pounder, my fish cleaner filleted that thing. And it was two meals. It was incredible how much meat was on a 5.5 pound flounder.
Yeah,
it made two meals.
That's
you know?
A doormat there, man.
Yeah, it was a really good one and just super, super good tasting. Man, I did that panko. The fillets I'd do on panko, man, it's hard
mm-hmm.
to beat.
Panko breadcrumbs.
And then this guy that's a gourmet cook I took fishing the other day says, let me give you a shrimp recipe. And so I got these beautiful white shrimp from Santone Bay, and probably the best shrimp in the world come out of Santone Bay because it's got a hard bottom. They don't have a big line in them, a big gut line or nothing. And so he says, take some club crackers and flour and mix it 50-50. Take a roller and grind those club crackers down, you know, to powder.
Uh-huh.
And mix it 50-50 with flour. And then I put my shrimp and egg and milk and dipped them in there. And let me tell you what, that's a different game with that club crackers. That is a great batter for shrimp. It's kind of got a buttery taste for shrimp.
Yeah,
those
club crackers and Captain's Wafers, they have that good taste to them.
Oh, what's the other one?
I can see that. Captain's Wafers, they call them. It's another brand. It's like a club cracker.
Okay.
They're called
okay.
Captain's
yeah.
Wafers.
And, okay, I've seen them. Okay.
They got a good flavor to them like that, too, man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's it's funny how you just, the older you get, the more you talk about food. So that's what's been happening to me now. So I'm getting all these new recipes, and I'm getting ready to go to Belleville. We got a bunch of meat, and, you know, we were calling Belleville, and they say you got to order, you know, tell them you're coming online now. Is that right? You got to tell them you're coming, Mickey? Is that the deal?
I don't know. I always just go by there. So you have to tell them in advance? I didn't know that.
Yeah, Greg was looking at the website, and they want you to tell them you're coming and all that. But they didn't have the hot tamales on there, you know, which I'm surprised because we killed a hog. We want to make hot tamales. But I'm sure they're there.
They still make their deer tamales.
Okay, and they'll make it out of hog, too. Have you ever had hog tamales? They got to
yeah.
be good. Right?
Oh, yeah, that's it. Hillman has those done all the time, the hog tamales.
Yeah, that's what I think I'm going to do.
And hog sausage.
Oh, yeah. That sweet chipotle sausage out of the deer is about the best I've ever had. Man, that's
pretty darn sausage. Good, isn't it?
Yeah, that's, so we're going to get it up there.
I don't know. They're sweet chipotle and the jalapeno cheese.
Yeah, that's all good stuff, man.
I used to get some dirty rice sausage made. It was almost like boudin, but it was sausage. And Captain mm-hmm. Benny, you know, when he worked with me here, he loved that dirty rice.
I had some that one time. I think my neighbor White Forest gave me a link of it. It was delicious, man. It was almost like boudin, but it had deer meat mixed with the
rice.
Right,
yeah, exactly.
Yes. Yeah, so... we're going to drive it up there, and we're going to make a whole day run up there just to go to Houston to take that. Because there's
speaking
really,
of
you know,
tamales, man. My old buddy, my tire buddy over Chavo, he dropped me off a couple of dozen. He just texted me and told me he put them in my truck for me. And
my barber makes them too.
Makes them.
The guy.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh man, they're excellent. They are really good.
No, the guy he's cut my hair since I was 13 years old, Mr. Florida. So he's just about wrapping it up. So I'm going to get another year out of it. But he makes hot tamales now, and it's like nothing else, you know. And it's crazy.
I tell you, that's work, man. I used to watch him do that, and that's a long, drawn out all day event.
Yeah,
you know, if you're going to make up a bunch of them.
Yes, and
they always make them up Christmas time.
Yes. That's good stuff. I love it this time of year. That's, you know, Christmas is, to me, it's just, you know, we always have hot tamales at Christmas. You know, it's just part of it. You know, it's good. And, you know, I think the pork are the best. So this is the first time I'm ever going to have Belleville make me pork. Now, the last time I had them at Belleville, there were Axis hot tamales. And I'm going to tell you what, the Axis hot tamales were off the charts. So,
oh, Belleville tamales are off the chart. Whether it's hog,
deer, yeah. So I'm gonna get me some of that.
And they're big. You see how much meat's in them?
Oh yeah,
they're huge.
I know it. Yeah, it's good stuff. First time I had them, the guy says, I'll give you a dozen. Well, that dozen lasted about 3 days. You know, you can't eat a dozen of those, man.
No.
Crazy. That's crazy.
You eat two of them, you're full as a tick.
So when you go down south, are you planning on shooting a deer too, Mickey?
If I don't see anything, you know, suitable for framing, as they say, you know, something to mount, I'm sure I'll get me a cold buck, at least take to Belleville.
Okay, that's what I was going to say. You're going to get something for hot tamales. You're going to get a cold or something.
You got that right.
Okay, good, if you don't see a buck. And did Blaine say how their does are? We don't have a lot of does this year, Mickey. Our doe count
is loaded with does and all of them. Okay. The fawn crop's unbelievable. It's, you know, twins on every doe.
See, we don't have that. And I think that Barry was saying something on the radio. If that ground temperature is like 95 degrees when those does have their babies, they'll die because of the heat. He says you want a rainy – those does will wait till a rainy, cloudy day or something to drop all those fawns down south. And it seemed like during that drought, it was really hot, and we just don't have a lot of young deer.
See, Blaine was getting rain, you know, when we weren't even getting it up here.
So that's what helped him, yeah.
Yeah. Everything just came into play for him this year. Well, he's been down there 42 years, he said, and he's never seen the deer crop, the quail crop, and the dove crop like it is. It's the best he's ever seen.
I mean, that's awesome. Golly.
Yeah.
Man, you've got to be loving that. God.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah, I will have a couple of shotguns in my truck. You can bet on that.
I know you will, man. Yeah, I haven't had a quail this year. I got to get me one of those nachos. I'm just dying for a quail, so I'm going to try to get something to go on this year. Our rancher took our quail away. Yeah, we've been on the Hoffman Ranch for over 30 years, and the owner decided that he didn't want to shoot quail this year. So I'm watching all these quails running around. It's really hard, Mickey. It's very hard.
That's willpower right there.
It's really hard, too, you know.
Man.
So
wonder why he's not don't want any quail.
I don't know what's going on there. He don't want to shoot quail or javelinas. And so the javelinas are taking over our feeders, you know. I don't know what the deal is with javelinas, but he does not want to shoot in javelinas. So,
well, the quail are here today and gone tomorrow. You better shoot them while you got them.
And that's funny. They get a virus and all be gone. That's it.
Yeah.
They can get a
pneumonia,
virus.
Pneumonia, cold, whatever, you know.
Yep.
Wrong kind of weather, and they're all dead.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly what happens.
Like saving trout. One freeze gets them all.
That hurt. Yeah, so, but, you know, it's what a difference. I look at the records on this year than last year at this time and the amount of fish we still have in our bay system.
Yeah.
It's crazy, the amount of fish. So a lot of the fish that follow the shrimp out into the Corpus Christi Bay are still hung up in the upper Laguna Madre from Bird Island North. You've got just tons of those 13 to 23-inch fish. I mean, it's just nuts, you know.
Right.
You can go out, Mickey, and just drift and throw in potholes right now with plastic and catch all the fish you want. And if it was real cold, a lot of those fish would already dumped. And we'd be down, you know, down south, farther south, you know, trying to catch them in, you know, down there a little farther, the resident fish. And that's what we're going to do tomorrow. We're going to drive by millions of fish tomorrow and go down and try to catch a big one, you know.
Well, nothing like stepping over Easter eggs to find more. You can do that when you got them.
That's it, buddy. That's it, man. So, but, you know, if it gets real bad down south, I'll come back and pick up some of these eggs around the bridge, you know. So we'll see what happens. So anyway, I know the flounder fishing
was
be good.
You know, when Galveston Bay was real healthy and I'd have a party out there and we'd be catching 3 to 5s, you know, catching them good. I said, all right, guys, we got enough here. Let's wrap them up. Let's go look for some big ones. They goes, these aren't big ones? I said, no.
Yeah, those are luxury days, buddy. God, those are some kind of days, weren't they?
Yep.
You know, Doug Bird would say, a big trout starts at 27 inches. He's so funny about that. 27 inches. 27 inches, you're in the trophy trout club there. That's when they start really grip and drag and start throwing their head off the top, and that's when things get fun, you know. I love them 25s and stuff, but it's something about those 27s and up that's a different animal right there.
It is.
Man, you know.
You start getting above that, you're in trout heaven then. You're on them.
You know, I've seen some pictures of some fish down south, Mansfield and South Pottery, that, you know, are reaching that 10 and a half, 11 pounds. I saw a picture of 11 pounder. I think it's probably the same one that James saw, came from down south, you know.
Yeah, I remember hearing about that one. That's a good one.
Really good ones.
Yes, sir.
And then saw two more than a 10-pound class that came down there. They were the Cardinalite bait, but still, just to know that they're in our system, man.
Yes.
You know, so I think someone's going to pop. I'm going to predict you're going to see a
12-pounder. Pop some 10s, and, you know, in your backyard this year.
I think you might see a 12.
Somebody might hit a 12. That's good.
I just think it's so, because we've already seen 11 and something. And what we got right now, Mickey, we got some of the best trout fishermen anywhere down here. We used to not have these people. And now trophy trout fish has become real popular. And so you have a lot of really good anglers. And just like James said, these young guys are really good.
The limit's only three. Why not fish for big ones? Why not?
That's it. Why not? Exactly right.
You got a 5-inch slot to work with. Hey, big deal. Let's go fish for big ones.
You know, and I love what Parson Wildlife did with that trout tag, just in case you catch that 35-inch trout, you know, that you want to, your world or state record, you can keep him. You know, if you catch a 38-inch trout, you know, you're going to keep him. I'm sorry. I don't care who you are. You know,
well,
unless you're buzzed.
Even if there wasn't a trout tag, and I catch a 38, he's coming home with me. They can just throw him in jail.
Coming home anyway. You'll be a poacher.
I'm bringing him home.
Going to jail.
Yes, sir.
Bring him home, baby. That's good stuff.
You went to jail for what? Yeah, I went to jail for a 38-inch trout.
But when I get out, he's going to be on my wall.
I don't know any blue-blood trout fisherman that would not go to jail for a 38-inch trout.
No. Yeah, when you get out of jail, you can just sit in your recliner and look at him. By then John Glenn will have him out of the skin mount. John Glenn is about 2 years behind, so it'll take about 2 years to get him out.
Yeah, you know? You'll be out of jail by the time the trout's mounted.
Yeah. You know, when I talked to John Glenn, though, he's doing all replicas. He's just now getting back to where he can do skin mounts. For the last 2 years, though, he's been doing all replicas because you can't keep a big trout. So,
right.
You know, he finally caught up and got all the dead ones out of the freezer, I think, you know. So he had them back in that freezer for years. So he finally caught up.
A lot of people are into the replica thing, but not me, man. I want skin on my mount. There's nothing finer than a skin mount. They're the best.
I know. I ain't mounted one in 30 years, but if I catch a big one, I will, man.
Well, it's been fun, brother, and you have a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year, and I'll talk to you next year.
All right, buddy, and send me some pictures of what you killed down there.
I will. I'll have my phone.
I might give you a call and show up there for a day and just hang out.
Hey, I'll call you. We'll get hooked up.
Call me.
You got it, buddy.
All right, everybody have a Merry Christmas out there, and everybody be safe for the holidays.
Thanks, Cliff. See you, man.
All right, man.
All right. Well, unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today's show. We'll be back in the morning, bright and early, 4 a.m., right here at Sports Radio 610 KILT Houston.